Okay. Do you want a New Testament church? I've drawn, for those listening by tape, I've drawn a pulpit with a preacher, and I've asked the students, what is that? And they said, a preacher behind a pulpit, and so on and so forth. I wrote the word ministry up there, and I said, is that correct? And they said, yes, that's correct. And I'm saying that that's not correct, according to the New Testament. Okay? Now, I can compromise on that. I can compromise on that to some extent. But I'm trying to get a point across. I'm trying to get a point across this morning. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 9 and 10, it's describing the Lord Jesus, how he was in heaven, how he descended down here to earth, how that he went to Calvary, how that he died for our personal sins, he was ascended again, and then he did something. He sent gifts to this earth, and it describes those gifts in verse 11, and I'd like to read this out of the Revised Standard Version and also out of the New International Version. And it says this, and his gifts were that some should be apostles, and that some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now I'd like to read out of the New International Version. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So, according to that verse, this is New Testament. This is the New Testament ministry. The New Testament ministry is not a person behind this pulpit, but the New Testament ministry is the church. Okay? And when I say the church, I'm not talking about a building now. I'm talking about ministry, putting the ministry back into the hands of the people. Okay? The ministry was in the hands of the people in the New Testament. What happened down through church history is that I believe the devil and just a lot of things that happened down through the Dark Ages and things like that took the ministry away from the people, took the ministry away from the church, and put the ministry in the hands of one individual, which they call clergy, which is an unscriptural term, and laity, which is an unscriptural thing. And if you do a study in Revelation, I think it's on the Nicolaitans, you'll find that that's where that whole system came from. And God says, that is something that I hate. Now, I've been involved in that system, okay? And I tell you, it is a hard row to hoe when you're the person to do all ministry, all praying for the sick, all evangelizing, all the things that we think of ministry. When that is taken away from the people and put in the hands of one individual, well, then you've lost an army. You've lost an army. And all you have there is one individual that feels, and I say this from my personal experience, you feel isolated, you feel cut off, you feel alone, you feel discouraged, and the system, in a sense, has created that atmosphere for you. And the church, in a sense, has bought into that lie, and they themselves have reduced a military force, a military power to invade the power of darkness and put it into the hands of one guy out there with a water pistol. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's not that hard then for the enemy to knock off that guy. And I'm amazed every year Andrew has ministers conferences to encourage the ministers. And they're good. And I tell you, these guys come into these ministers conferences, they are defeated, they're beat, all kinds of things. And then through the ministers conference, try to pump them up, so they can go out there and be that Lone Ranger again for another year and try to survive that system. Okay? I believe that what the Bible's teaching is, the Bible is teaching that this person right here, which I would say should be in the area of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, is to be in that position to do one thing, to prepare God's people for works of service, to prepare them to do the work of the ministry. God wants an army. God wants a movement. Now, and I'm not saying these things in criticism or anything like this, okay? Do you understand that?
Amen.
I didn't create this system. You know, it's been around a long time. But for 325 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was no such thing as even a church meeting in a building. Okay? 325 years after the resurrection of Jesus, when Constantine took over as the emperor of Rome, he came in and declared Christianity to be the religion of the entire Roman Empire. And at that time, because of paganism, they built temples to deities like Apollos and Zeus and so on and so forth. Constantine came in and said, there's nothing for the Christians. We want to come in and we want to build temples for them. Okay? Those are what we know today as church buildings. Okay? Now, those pagan buildings, each one of them had a name attached to them that identified their god, whether that be Apollos or Zeus or so on and so forth. So Constantine says, we want to put names on each of these buildings that were given over to the Christians. And so we have names such as Paul and Peter and Mary and so on and so forth attached to Christian buildings today. Now, also, the Christians, as we read in Acts chapter 2, their meetings were like daily meetings. When we read through the New Testament, we found that churches were met in people's homes, okay? That they were the church that met in so-and-so's house and so on and so forth. So they did have places that they gathered together, and they did have places that they met together. And I believe probably that the movement that we know of as the early New Testament church probably came out of the concept of the synagogue and the synagogue worship. Now, the thing about the synagogue and the synagogue worship, and I'm not that familiar about it, but I do know this. There was much more freedom in the synagogue worship than there is in what we know in the 20th century church today. You know how I know that? Because I read the New Testament, and the New Testament tells me that Paul used the synagogue as his base for evangelism. I guarantee you, if the Apostle Paul came in today in the system that we're operating in today, he wouldn't have the right to come to the microphone and speak. He wouldn't have the right to give an exhortation and tell us the truths of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Why? Because there is not a platform created for the Apostle Paul in the 20th century church. Okay? Now, the synagogue was not that way. The synagogue had a time in their service and all of this where if someone could expound the Word of God or whatever, that they had the freedom to do that. And we read that in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul would go in there and he'd say, "Men, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, speak on." And he would take the Old Testament scripture and he'd begin to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and so on and so forth from the Old Testament scriptures. I think, personally, that the church, the early New Testament church, probably sprang forth from a much more freer atmosphere that the Jews were familiar with, okay, in the synagogue. Now, let me prove this to you. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Phillips translation, and you can read it in whatever translation you have, and I'm just going to do that because Phillips is bringing out in a clearer way some of the things that I want to say. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26 says this, in the Phillips translation, it says, "Well then, my brothers, whenever you meet," okay? Now, what did he say? "Brothers, whenever you meet." I know that we're locked into Sunday and Wednesday nights. Let me just say this. It's still hard for me, if I miss Sunday morning service, not to feel guilt and condemnation come on me. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Let me just say this. That God restored a lot of truth that came through the Reformation time. Okay? He restored the truth of justification by faith, the priesthood of the believer, and so on and so forth. Even though that's been restored in theory, I don't think it is in principle. But a lot of truth was restored in the Reformation. But did you know what? A lot of tradition came right from Catholicism into the Protestant Reformation and still remains there till this day. Okay? Still remains there to this day. From what I understand, I know that the early Christians met on the first day of the week and so on and so forth, but I also recognize from Constantine and all these other things that these days were also pagan days. Like Sunday came from one of the gods of the sun, okay? And to kind of blend Christianity with paganism and all that stuff and not to ruffle anybody's feathers, you know what I'm saying? Well, then they allowed paganism to keep some of these days, you know, to observe these days. So Sunday is a, you know, the very word Sunday implies that it's a holiday to the God of the sun. And so on and so forth. So what I'm saying is, I know that the early church, from reading Acts chapter 2, was much more of a meeting-oriented people. Okay? But the reason they were a meeting-oriented people was because that they were a body people. They were a family people. Whereas today, we can live in Colorado Springs and have our own private homes and identities, go to church and come home and never even rub shoulders. So right here, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. "Well then, my brothers, whenever you meet, let everyone be ready to contribute." I want you to say that with me. Let everyone be ready to contribute. That tells me something about the New Testament church. That tells me that even in the meeting of the New Testament church, that the ministry was in the hands of the body. Okay? That the ministry was in the hands of the body. Now, I have emphasized in our class and in our teaching in the book of Acts that the ministry should be in the hands of the people to go out and evangelize and reach the lost and so on and so forth. I believe that. But I haven't emphasized, and I don't think I've even said it until today, that I believe that the early church, that the ministry was in the hands of the people. Okay? Now look what happened there. Well, my brothers, whenever you meet, let everyone be ready to contribute. Now notice what everyone contributed. Okay. Okay. A psalm. First of all, said, let everyone be ready to contribute. One of the things that was contributed in the body of Christ was a psalm. Now, do you know what a psalm is? A psalm, I believe that you could go to the Old Testament and say that was a psalm, and we could read a psalm, and that may be referring to what this is talking about. I'm not sure. But the word psalm itself means, in the Greek, I just looked it up a few minutes ago, it means striking the chords of a musical instrument. Striking the chords of a musical instrument. Now, what we've done is we've had our professional choirs. You know what I'm saying? And we have made our church services are wonderful. They really are. But the thing of it is, it's a spectator type activity. We go and it's like, who can entertain us the best? You know what I mean? We've got to have the professional singers. We've got to have the professional music. Everything has to be, you know that. And it's wonderful. And it is entertaining. Okay? It is real entertaining. And so on and so forth. And what we usually hear is we hear an inspirational message in our churches with some exhortation. And then, and I'm just saying this as a former pastor, then we hope that you go home and do something. And most generally, it never happens. Now, if you really love the Lord, it will happen. I don't mean to be negative about this, but what I'm saying is our services consist of a teaching and we hope you do something with it. You know what we've done? We've taken out of the church. And when I say the church, don't be thinking a church building. Because when the word church is used, it's not talking about a church building. That's what we think of a church. That's not what the New Testament is talking about. A church is a called out people, called out into God. And what we've done is we've taken away from the church the right to participate. And let me tell you something. I'm not happy. You're not happy. Leon over there is not happy. Until he has that opportunity to participate, to share, to teach, to give what God has given him to someone else. You see, none of us as human beings are happy until we have the opportunity to give what God has given to us to someone else. We're not. We're not. And this is what I see being reaped in the church. We've sowed and we are reaping. And you know we're reaping in our churches? We're reaping people that are into themselves, that are depressed, they're beat down, they're having pity parties, and they're into themselves. Why? Because the only way to get your heart and mind away from self is to get it on someone else.
Amen.
Man, I may be having the whole world crushing in on me, but if I have an opportunity to share what God has given me to reach out and help somebody else, I forget my problem. That depression lifts off me. All that self-pity, I don't need that anymore. Why? Because, hey, now I'm in a situation where I have the opportunity to bear someone else's burden, to reach out to them, to give them the Word of God, to encourage them, and so on and so forth. The atmosphere of that early New Testament church gave an atmosphere of participation. Now, What kind of participation? We're reading right here. I'm saying it. I want to say it like this. What do you want to do? Not what do you have to do. What is it in your heart that you, not somebody else, but that you want to do? Now, I know within this group here today at Colorado Bible College that there's people that have a heart for evangelism. There's people in here that would love to go out on the streets and witness. There's people in here that would love to go door to door and share the gospel and share Christ. But there's only some in here that want to do that. Okay? How many in here would like to do that? Okay, thank you. Now, I know there's other people in here that would love to pray for the sick. They love to pray for the sick. They'd rather do that than anything else. Some in here. How many in here is that way? Okay. Let's narrow it down a little more. How many like to cast out devils? Okay. Let's say it this way. How many of you just are a mercy-oriented person and you just love to encourage someone and just whatever that you can? Let's see those hands. Okay. All right, let's go a little further. How many love to give? I mean, that's the thing. It's you want to help meet people's needs and you'll do whatever it takes to give. Okay. So on and so forth. All right, let's go a little further. How many would love the opportunity to lead a song or a psalm of worship? Okay. Now, let me just say this. Do you see now why you're frustrated? Because this person here only has the right to do those things. Well, let me take it. I didn't say this. How many? How many would love to teach? All right. Okay. Now let's look at this passage. Well then, my brothers, 1 Corinthians 14:26, whenever you meet, let every one of you be ready to contribute a psalm, a piece of teaching. King James says doctrine. That means teaching. I don't really think that the New Testament church consists of one person doing all the teaching. Okay. A psalm, a piece of teaching, a spiritual truth, which I think that King James says revelation, a revealing of truth. Someone has a tongue. Someone has an interpretation. Everything should be done to make your church strong in the faith. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Different kinds. How many can say that? Different kinds. Diversities. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Spirit that gives them. There are different ways of serving, but it's the same Lord that served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to everyone for their service. Now, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Does that mean you? Yes. To prophet. Now notice verse 8. To one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom. That could be a supernatural impartation of wisdom from God that only God knows, or it could be also, I believe, wisdom that could come maybe possibly from the Scripture. To another, a word of knowledge. That could be a supernatural, like what we know as a word of knowledge, or knowledge even from the Word. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, one of the things that's foreign in our thinking right now is that we read this, or I've read this, many, many, many times and just thought, yeah, Trish has a gift of this and Jerry has a gift of that and Willie has a gift of that. But see, we've never thought about it in the context of the church in which it's speaking. You understand what I'm saying? We see it as an isolated gift, an isolated person, way out there, isolated, and sometimes that's going to function. We don't see it in the light of what we've read in 1 Corinthians 14, that everyone has, okay, a gift that differed, of prophecy in verse 10, of discerning of spirits, to divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all those members of that one body are many, being many are one, so also is Christ. Look, here I'm a body. See my body? It's got this finger and this finger and this finger and this toe and so on and so forth, an ear and so on and so forth. Each one of those has a different function. Each one of them has a different function. And if the toe says, look, I don't want to be a toe, I want to be an eye. Say, okay, all you're going to see is the inside of that sock. No, that toe has its own function. You can't even walk without that toe. Okay? Now, just as that's true in the natural body, it says, so also is Christ. What is the church? The church is the coming together and meeting together of Christ, an expression of Christ. It's the expression of Christ. Now, I want you to notice, before we turn to another passage, these words in your King James Version there. Notice in verse 8, to another, verse 9, to another, verse 10, to another, to another, to another. Do you see that? It didn't say to this guy, and to this guy, and to this guy, and to this guy, and to him, and to him, and to him, and to him. It said, okay? Amen. But it's the other, 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 other. And yes, there may be a healing that needs to come place, be placed in the body today as we meet as a church. But it might come through that guy back there. Yes, there's faith there, but it's, chances are it's not going to be up here, it's going to be there. Or prophecy, or tongues, or helps, or so on, giving, or whatever it might be. Amen? Let's look at, while we're here in 1 Corinthians 12, let's move down to verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ, you, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, some, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. Now I think that he said that is because there has to be a foundation of God's word that's the basis of everything that goes on in the church. Okay? It just can't be out of control, all right? Then there's miracles, then there's gifts of healing, then there's helps, then there's governments, there's diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Well, the answer to that is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, the reason that I'm reading that, to show you that there are some, but not all, that there's different functions in the body. You know what I'm saying? Again, it goes back to this. This guy is not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, healer, deliverer, faith, you know, devil caster, outer, or whatever. But that's in the body. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. We have many parts in one body, and all these parts have different functions. Different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. Verse 6. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. God has given grace in His body. And that grace manifests in different gifts and different giftings. Okay? If our gift is to speak God's message or prophecy, let us do it according to the faith that we have. Okay? You know what? I don't have the faith to do some things. You won't probably ever hear me singing like Kenneth Copeland. You know what I'm saying? Or you may not hear me doing something that Dave Duell does, or like he does, or so on and so forth. You see what I'm saying? God has given grace. Grace in the body, and as He's given that grace, He's given faith. And within this body here today, there are certain things. Well, first of all, let me tell you what total commitment is. Total commitment is not that you do everything. I learned this from a Church of Christ brother. He told me that. Total commitment is not that you do everything. But total commitment is that we must do some things. And the total commitment to do that we must do some things are the things that He has graced us with, that He has gifted us with. Okay? I mean, there's some things that I do is easy to do. It's easy for me to be a giver, but it frustrates some people. Okay? It's easier for me sometimes to explain something in Scripture, but to somebody else it would be a frustrating thing. You see what I'm saying? But there's other things that other individuals have, prophecy or tongues with interpretation, that would probably frustrate me. You see what I'm saying? But to someone else, that's easy. Why? Because God has given grace in His body, and along with the grace, He has given the faith to operate in that and to develop that. Okay? And so let's read this. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If it's to speak God's message, prophecy, do it according to the faith that we received. If it's to serve, we must serve. If it's to teach, we must teach. If it is to encourage others, we must do that. We must do that so. Whoso shares with others what he has must do it generously. Okay? If you have a gift of giving, just open your heart. Whoever has, and this is, I'm going to read this out of the NIV. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, did you notice that he even talked about in the body that there was a gift of the King James says governments, but the NIV calls it leadership? And to whoever has that is to govern diligently. Do you know who that is? I believe that was the elders of the New Testament church. You see, the New Testament church was not out of control. Paul said, I have to come in here and correct a few things because it's got to be decently in order, and God is not the author of confusion. Okay? There was leadership in the early New Testament church. But the leadership came as the Apostle Paul, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ordained elders in every church. And there appears to be plurality of eldership in the New Testament church. Now, what was the eldership? The word elder itself means someone that rules. Okay? So we got this idea of governments. We got this idea of leadership. We've got this idea of governing. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, Peter says, "I'm an elder and I exhort you elders also." Peter, the Apostle Peter, was an elder in a body, I suppose. Okay? And let's just turn to that real quick. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1. The elders, plural, which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Now, what was the elder to do? What was his primary thing he's to do? It says here in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Okay, the elders were within the body of Christ, and there, and they were, when you see the qualifications in Titus 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, they were to be apt to teach, and they were also to be men that were respectable. They're men that had their homes in order. There were men that had a good reputation, not only in the church, but also outside of the church, okay, in front of the world. They weren't guys that were accused of being schemers and, you know, shady kind of things, okay? So it says here in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, okay? What did the elders do? The elders were responsible for oversight. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. In other words, the qualification as elder is you're not going to be twisting every nickel and dime out of you. You know what I'm saying? He's to be an oversight. He's to feed the flock of God. And now notice verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Okay? This position here is never to be a position of clergy laity, or I'm this guy and you're down here. He's to lead how? To lead by example. That's what he said here. He says, not being lords, but being examples to the flock. You know, and as I was reading this last night or this morning, I noticed within this passage that we've just read in Romans 12, when it says, those that govern do it diligently, those that have leadership, and so on and so forth. You see, when Paul was writing it, he put these guys not behind that pulpit, but he put them right down here. When he named the gifts and the callings of God on people's lives, he put those gifts and callings on the elders' life right down here with the rest of the people in the body of Christ. He never lifted this guy above that. Now, I got to put this in proper context. This is what I think was happening in the early New Testament church. I think there was an expression of all gifts, and that one had a psalm, a tongue, a revelation, a teaching, an exhorting, so on and so on and so forth. I believe it was a body ministry. It had an expression. Then I think within this body, there was a plurality, it seemed like to me anyway, a plurality of eldership that was taking the oversight of this thing. And so, it was the responsibility of the eldership to keep it decently and in order. Now, how many know some in the body would come and want to take over and abuse, and the guy that had something else, he wouldn't even have his opportunity or his chance. There had to be some kind of governing. There had to be some kind of oversight. There had to be something that from time to time you'd say, well, brother, you're out of order, or you got to give time for another one to express what God has given him, or whatever it might be. Okay, what I'm saying? Now, these guys did have gifts of teaching. They were apt to teach, and they did feed the church of God. And I believe that within this expression of the fullness of the giftings here, that they also had expression of what we would call our services today, where they would teach for 15 or 20 minutes, or they would express, or there would be special times. There'd be special times when everything would be just really, in a sense, dedicated to them to give forth what was needed in the body. Now, why do I say that? I say that because if you look at Acts chapter 20, and we don't have time to turn there, but if we look at Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, the church gave the apostle Paul all night long. He preached from the evening of the Lord's covenant meal, when they had a meal together. They gave him freedom to preach, and he preached till midnight, till one guy fell out of the loft. Couldn't take any more. He fell out of the loft. He was raised from the dead, and Paul went right on to preaching till sunrise. Amen. So we have our biblical concepts of preaching the Word of God with a little overtime. Amen. But that doesn't take away from the regular meeting of the church that there were time within that regular meetings for expression of body ministry. Okay? Now, I think there's a lot more things I wanted to say today, but I'm out of time, so I guess I won't say them today. But I think what has happened is that we've taken participation away from the church. And because of it, we have a frustrated body that's into themselves because they haven't had the vehicle and means to put into someone else's life an expression of Christ and the gifting that they have. Amen?
Amen.
Well, did you get something out of that?
Yeah. Amen.